and welcome to another episode of the Stumbled Upon podcast. I am your host, Kate, and each week we'll be taking a deep dive into a topic that has sparked my interest. Before we get started, I hope that you're all having a wonderful Friday and looking forward to the weekend ahead. This week's topic is the summer solstice, and for the Northern Hemisphere, that actually occurred last Friday on June 20th, but I was a little bit behind and didn't realize it until the actual day of, and then thought to myself, well, we'll be late, but we're still going to do a deep dive into it because I was curious about what it means for various cultures around the world. And so in places like America, the summer solstice is considered the first or official day of the start of summer. It actually marks the official start of the astronomical summer and is the longest day of the year. So it occurs when one of the Earth's poles is tilted towards the sun at its most extreme angle, which is why the other hemisphere experiences the winter solstice because they're tipped the furthest away from the sun on that day. So for us in the Northern Hemisphere, it was the longest and probably sunniest day of the year. And then for those in the Southern Hemisphere, it was the shortest day of the year. And then as the Earth rotates around the sun, when we get to the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, we will be tipped the furthest away from the sun, whereas the Southern Hemisphere will be tipped closest to the sun, giving them their summer solstice, which will fall on December 21st of this year. So the word solstice means sun standing still, and it is derived from combining the Latin words for sun and to stand still. In the weeks leading up to the solstice, the sun appears to move very little in the sky. So what they're talking about when they say that, when I was researching that, is that for the previous 6 months leading up to the summer solstice, the sun has appeared to migrate on a northerly course in the sky. At the moment of the solstice, that motion stops and it looks like it's standing still for a couple of days. Then the sun will start to move south, and that southerly motion will continue for 6 months until the sun drops to its lowest point below the equator and then stops, marking the winter solstice. Then it repeats. Yes, the sun is rising and falling each day, but where it is in the sky relative to where we are on Earth moves. So if you looked at a map of the sun marked where it was in the sky at, you know, noon every day, that point is going to move or appear to move in the sky, and it actually forms a lopsided figure eight. And so when it's at the highest point on that figure eight, you're at the summer solstice. When that eight comes together, that point where it meets, it is the equinox, whether that be spring or fall, it doesn't matter, that's where it falls. And then at the southernmost point of that figure eight in the sky is where you have the winter solstice as you're looking at it from a point in the Northern Hemisphere. Yes, the sun is still rising and falling, but if you're looking at a fixed time each day, it is actually moving in the sky relative to the Earth, if that makes sense. So the solstice does not fall on the same calendar day each year because the astronomical year is 365.25 days long. This is why the summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere shifts between June 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The summer solstice happens at the same moment for every country or location on Earth, which is why it can occur in the middle of the night for some locations and the middle of the day for others. So I thought it would be interesting to kind of look at how different people celebrate the solstice around the world. And so I have some examples of different traditions that people have regarding the solstice. So the first one I found was in Sweden. So in Sweden, they celebrate midsummer. Midsummer celebrations are celebrating the halfway point of the season. So they see the solstice as not the first day of summer, but as actually the halfway point of the season, which makes sense to me because I guess it depends on when you view when summer ends. If you are considering June the midpoint, then that means that it probably began sometime, well, it'd be the end of June, so maybe like begin sometime like beginning of May and then ends beginning of August, if that's kind of the timeline that you're working with. I actually didn't look up the days, the official days of summer for the people that celebrate midsummer. I probably should have, but either way, they look at it as the midpoint for the season, which I guess makes sense because if you're looking at it from the perspective of what the sun is doing, the sun has made that northerly movement across the sky and has reached its peak on the solstice. And now from now on, it's going to slowly go down in that southerly direction in the sky. And so it's technically all the days from this point out are getting shorter and shorter until we reach the winter solstice when we'll get to the shortest day. So from that perspective, it makes sense that this is sort of the peak of summer because now the days are going to start to get shorter and shorter. So going back to what they do in Sweden, they will install a maypole decorated with flowers and leaves and then dance around it wearing flower wreaths themselves. People also dress in traditional costumes, which are long flowy skirts with aprons for women and trousers with long socks for men, with differences by region. The celebrations also include large parties with dancing, eating and drinking, and playing games. Some people will walk barefoot in the dew, believing that it will improve their health for the coming year. In Alaska, in the United States, the Fairbanks Midnight Sun baseball game is a 119-year-old tradition that began in 1906. Since the sunlight lingers past midnight that far north, the game starts around 10 p.m. and no artificial light is used. It draws fans from all over the world, and Fairbanks will also host the Midnight Sun Festival with 12 hours of celebration featuring live music, vendors, and various activities. Because the further north that you go on the solstice, the longer the period of time for sunlight. Because if you think about it, the way the earth is tipped, it's tipping forward. From the northern hemisphere perspective, we're tipping forward towards the sun. So therefore, the sun is going to be the closest to us at this point. And so it's going to, quote unquote, last the longest further north, because at this point, it's the furthest north of the equator as it's going to get on the summer solstice. In Puerto Rico, they celebrate Noche de San Juan, or St. John's Eve, on June the 23rd, and it honors St. John the Baptist, who is the patron saint of the island. It is rooted in pagan and Catholic customs because it blends spiritual cleansing with summer celebration. So at the stroke of midnight, people will walk into the ocean backwards to ward off negativity and bring good luck. If they take 3 plunges in the ocean, which is sort of the minimum, that is thought to cleanse the spirit and bring good luck. Some people, however, will do 7 or up to 12 plunges backwards into the ocean. This is to symbolize stronger protection, abundance, or a personal spiritual reset. This is considered a family-friendly celebration on the beach, and it includes picnics, music, and dancing. Once again, this will go late into the night, if not all night, celebrating this sort of moment in time. In Norway, bonfires are a common way to celebrate midsummer. In Ålesund, Norway, they held the world record for the tallest bonfire at over 155 feet tall in 2016. Generally speaking, teens and young adults will build a massive structure out of stacked wooden pallets a few miles from town. The bonfire can be seen all the way out to the harbor, where the king and queen will sometimes watch from the royal yacht, which was a funny fact for me because I forget that this may be a very American-centric kind of viewpoint, and I apologize in advance, but I forget that other countries still have kings and queens. It feels very like old-timey-timey to me to have a monarchy, but and that's like no shade to the people that have monarchies, whatever, you know, floats your governmental boat, as it were. But it was funny to be like, oh, they watch it from their yacht. Like, I don't know. It just I pictured like Victorian dressed folks on a big boat, which is just not at all what it is, but that's just what I pictured. So that was kind of a funny, interesting little tidbit about the way they celebrate it. You can also see this bonfire from, I think it was like a mountain lookout point as well in Norway, because it's so huge. And in addition to this bonfire, they also, this like one particularly large one, they'll also light bonfires throughout the country as a way to celebrate Midsummer. This one was just like the most well-known one. In Iceland, they host Midsummer celebrations for positivity and good health. Some people will hike a 15-mile stretch between two different glaciers in southern Iceland overnight. This hike lasts between 9 and 11 hours, and it has an elevation gain of 3,280 feet. While they're hiking, you know, of course, obviously it's a scenic hike, but they also will see the 2010 volcanic eruption site along the way, which I thought was pretty cool. And then at the end, participants will have a bonfire and music to once again celebrate Midsummer and enjoy themselves into the night. Iceland being pretty far north, the length of time that they have sunlight is quite extended. So they also have a golf tournament called the Arctic Open, it's sold out every year. I think it said they usually have 260 participants, and they start teeing off at midnight, and then they play 36 holes throughout the night, not ever needing to use artificial light because the sunlight just lasts for such a long time. So I thought that was pretty cool. To me, though, I thought about it and I just feel like I'd get so tired, but then maybe because the sun's still out, it messes with your circadian rhythm so you don't feel as tired. I don't actually know. Moving on into England at Stonehenge, on the summer solstice, the sun rises behind the heel stone, creating an alignment that draws people from all over the world. Now, I just did a quick little detour into Stonehenge because I thought that it was interesting to look up more information about it, because I really don't know much about it other than it's a bunch of big stones that were placed in a circular-ish pattern, and nobody really knows why, but they think it's because of the sun, or they think it was because of some kind of like religious celebration type place. I looked it up, and basically the stone's layout appears to be designed in relation to the solstices. So the changing seasons would have been of immense significance to the people of this era, which was about 4,500 years ago. It's thought that midwinter may have been the more important focus, partly because the alignments towards the setting midwinter sun are ahead of you as you enter the monument, and because scholars know that people gathered to feast at midwinter at a settlement nearby Stonehenge where its builders and users lived. When I was looking this up, I saw they have a map layout of the monument, and the heel stone, which is where the sun rises during the summer solstice, is to your back as you are following, they call it the avenue. So as you're following the avenue into the actual layout of Stonehenge, you walk past the heel stone first. And as you continue into that sort of larger circular formation of stones, that heel stone is facing your back. So they likened it to the layout of a church. So when you walk into church, the altar is in front of you as you're walking into the building. And so that is sort of considered the focal point or the more important point of the building, which is what makes them think that the summer solstice was less important when they were building this monument. Additionally, scholars have studied the bones of pigs and cattle buried in pits near this settlement that's closest to Stonehenge, and they show that they were being killed in midwinter and that they had been brought over long distances, suggesting midwinter was a time when people gathered in large numbers to conduct ceremonies and have feasts. They say during, like, when they've dug up this different stuff, they were thinking that midwinter was the more important celebration. One, because winter's pretty harsh, and so a lot of people may be low on reserves at that point, because midwinter, again, is the longest night of the year. And so it is shortest day, longest night of the year. And so it's also the peak of winter or the peak of that season. And so that would be when people are at their most vulnerable. It also was talking about how because the nights are so long and the days are so short, gathering in large groups could have been like a safety measure as well. Just because obviously like predators and sort of things are going to be, everybody's hungry in the middle of winter, right? Not just humans, but other predators. And so gathering in large numbers could help people stay safe from getting killed themselves. Nowadays, a special event is held at Stonehenge, and on June 20th and 21st, they allow visitors to stay all night long, watching and observing, and they even do a live stream now, so you can watch it from your computer if you so choose. People enjoy watching the sun go down, staying all night, and celebrating until it rises the next morning. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Like, I think it would be cool to go visit Stonehenge and watch the sun move around the formations. I think it would be pretty interesting to view it in person. And I think that it is fun to sort of think about why people built it. I also find it interesting that it's so huge. And we're talking about people who lived 4,500 years ago lifting these stones into place. I didn't go too far into it, but I don't know that we really know how they even constructed the structure specifically. Again, we still don't 100% know why it was built. They assume that it was for these ceremonies, but you never really know. Somebody mentioned in the article that I did read about it, it mentioned that some people think it was just a calendar, so a way to mark when it was in the year based on where the sun was positioned within the structure. But because of the feasting and sort of stuff nearby, that's what leads scholars to believe that it was more of like a ceremonial place, which makes sense to me. Oh, they also said that when they've done some archaeology around there, they've noted that no debris has been found underneath the area, suggesting that it was kept very clean, which also suggests that it was a place of ceremony because you wouldn't just be throwing, you know, you wouldn't have like a trash pit in the middle of where you're having a ceremony type thing. I thought that was kind of interesting, and I think it would be cool maybe one day to go visit it. I think it would be probably very impressive to see it in real life. I have done some international travel in the past, and seeing these places in photos is very cool, but seeing them in real life and just kind of getting a sense of how old and huge these structures are is something that I encourage you, if you're ever able to travel, to do, because I think it's a really impactful sort of experience, in my opinion. In conclusion, whether you celebrate the solstice or not, it's a fascinating time for many cultural traditions around the world. Maybe one day you might consider visiting some of these places and taking part in the celebrations. However you mark the passage of the seasons, I think it's safe to say it's been a very important concept for humans for a long time. Happy official start or middle of summer, friends, and I'll be seeing you next Friday. Bye!